Three Peeps in a Podcast.
Okay, so we are Sunday, day after Bristol City versus Fulham, which was the 125th anniversary of the club, and they chose that game to celebrate it. We're going to cover that on our next actual episode, so that'd be episode 97 of Three Peeps in the Podcast. And Matt Withers, who is on the line with me now, will be joining me and Rich for that. So we look forward to that on Wednesday. But Matt, let's talk about the game itself. Team news came through. What were you thinking? I was a little bit shocked about Zizou. Are we aware of any reason why he was dropped?
No, I think it probably was tactically. Like you, I didn't sort of focus on the team news before the kickoff, really. And so when I sort of saw them lining up and saw that Pham wasn't starting, I was surprised. But it was an interesting one, because I think a few of us have been kind of crying out to see what it would be like with Wells and probably Wyman up front. And that's a little bit of a sort of slight on Pham, really, because he's been excellent. And I noticed a couple of people have sort of commented on Jeff's show around sort of Famara and how much he gives us defensively and how important he is from that point of view. And Jeff quite rightly sort of pointed out, well, you don't pick a striker on what he does in the other box. And I think Pham's kind of, I'm not saying that's the only reason he's been in the team, because it's absolutely not, but I think that's played a big part, is basically because of what he's been doing defensively. So I was pleased, again, not being disrespectful to him, but I was pleased to see what it would be like with two smaller men. It should give us a little bit, you know, a little bit more in behind. And I think, truthfully, it was because Lee wanted to get in behind Fulham, realised that, you know, they play football, they play high up the pitch, and Pham's not, I mean, he's not slow, but he's not necessarily blessed with speed and running the channels and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I thought it was a brave move. The other one,
Naj.
So Naj was ill. Lee came out and said that he'd had a bug and a sort of raging temperature. So, yeah, that was obviously expected. Henriksen, really following his Huddersfield performance. Again, Lee came out and said that, you know, he wasn't pleased with that performance, and he's now got to work himself back into contention. So I guess Han Noah was the obvious one. And then with Nicky Mainpur, I thought I'd read during the week that Dan Bentley was back sort of training on the grass. So I don't know if that was still precautionary or if it was indeed tactically. You know, obviously Mainpur didn't do anything wrong against Millwall. And so maybe, you know, there will be a school of thought that it would have been harsh to drop him. But,
you know, fair,
if number one's your number one, you know, it's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think he was probably my man of the match, Mainpur, yesterday. And
yeah,
it's great that we've got effectively two number ones in the squad. And no massive loss for me that, you know, obviously I want Bentley to come back in and be our number one, but the fact that we've got him in the wings to come in and put in performances like that and keep us in the game, like Bentley has as well. I think it was a really important performance for him, and one that I'm sure he'll be quite proud of.
Yeah, and no, I think it's absolutely spot on. I think what he gives you, I think they're both very good shot stoppers, and Nicky showed that yesterday with one save in particular from Bobby Reid, or Decordiga the Reid, or whatever his surname is now. Apologies,
stick to
Bobby.
Stick to Reid.
I'll stick with Bobby Reid, and that's no disrespect to Bobby. But he pulled off one great sort of one-handed save. I think you miss Bentley's keen distribution and the way that he is. But I think the opposite of that is that Nick is more adept at coming for crosses, and you feel slightly more secure, albeit I think he did get away with one right at the end.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, it probably was a penalty. If that had been a player out on the pitch, had made connection with the player before then getting the ball, it probably would have still been a free kick. So
he was quite clever about the way he went about it, though. I don't know whether he sort of, his body position looked okay. It was just the fact that he
caught him with his legs, didn't he? And I'll tell you what was clever as well, was the way that Corey Smith reacted, because Corey Smith was proper patting him on the back and you know, made a big deal out of it. So I don't know if Corey was kind of concerned about it. But again, and I know we had this sort of conversation after the Huddersfield game, when we were talking about Corey Smith. I think for me yesterday, he absolutely showed why he's so important to us. You know,
if he stays fit for the last 9 games, I think that's our only chance.
Yes.
Of him staying fit. It's so important that he just brings the cement.
He brings
11 get picked.
Yeah, he brings leadership, Patch. I think, you know, where I sort of sit in the South Stand, you could just hear him. But he was encouraging. He was doing the other side of things. If he had to give someone a bit of a ticking off, he would give them a ticking off. But, you know, mind put after that save, he was straight over to him and, you know, hand on his back. And I just think he's you know, exactly like you're saying, I don't think we'll make playoffs if Corey ends up getting another injury or anything and misses any games, because I just think that he's so important to us. And for me, highlighted why I would absolutely be looking at another 2-year contract, 2 to 3 years for him. I know he's got that injury record, but, you know, for me, he's absolutely someone that I would have in the team, yeah.
So first half, I thought it was good. Good game all round, really. There was quite, you know, there was lots going on. Lots of, there was movement and attacking play from both teams. Fulham looked a bit more dangerous and a little bit more clinical. But Wells had, you know, one that sort of, he didn't quite catch well enough. And obviously Reid had a couple of opportunities, one that he headed narrowly wide, which I thought was definitely a goal.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of the first half, there was a minute spell where we just could not clear the ball. And I just expected a goal from Fulham. But we managed to ride out that storm.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've got, I mean, Lee described them as the Galacticos of the division after it. And I think when you've got players of the ilk of Mitrovic, in particular, Kearney and, what's his name, the midfielder from Cardiff?
Arter,
yeah. In particular, very, very comfortable on the ball. I think I agree with you. I thought we started off brightly. We had probably 3 shots, I think. I think Wales had a couple in and Andy Wyman had one. Mm. That, you know, their keeper, he didn't have to extend himself too much. So, you know, it was easy enough saves. But it was something we've been crying out for. You know, we've seen a number of games and we've had one shot and that's been it. I think they look like they had more quality. You know, and I think, again, as expected, they've not long been out of the Prem. You know, they've still maintained their sort of main squad. But I think, again, they were better on the ball. And that bit that you talked about where we just couldn't get rid of it, we panicked a couple of times. You know, I think there was one where Callum had time and, a bit more time than he thought to be able to control it and pass it out, but instead kind of hoofed it. And then it was just coming back to us. But I think that ended with an Arter shot that went wide. But, you know, generally, I thought it was a much improved first half, albeit, as I say, I think on the ball, Fulham showed more quality. And they probably opened the pitch a little bit more. Their wide men kind of stayed wide and kept the pitch nice and wide for them. So the difference for me, Patch, and I don't know if you sort of think it, they always seem to have players making angles and available to receive the ball and then pass the ball off. And again, we were a little bit slow moving it at times, and it didn't quite come off. You know, a couple of times Jamie Patterson tried a little flick, or Corey tried a couple of flicks around the corner, and they didn't quite come off. But, you know, credit where credit was due. At least they were trying it. And I think, again, I've said a number of times, for me, if you're looking to do the right things, I'm not necessarily going to get, you know, too hot under the collar if it doesn't always come off. It's when we're not trying stuff and we're playing negatively that, you know, I get frustrated with it, because I think that we, you know, we're better than we show at times.
A couple of things I want to cover off before we move off of the first half. Baker gets injured on the 23rd minute, which is a sight we've seen a number of times. And is it just because of the way he wears his heart on his sleeve and the way he goes in for tackles and overexerts, possibly? But would you bring on Benkovic or would you bring on Williams at that point?
So the Baker point, first of all, I can't remember how many games it is now, but it's it is as a bigger number as you would think that he has missed that first half, you know, where he's not finished the first half. It was from a challenge against Kamara, I think, on the left-hand side as I looked at it. And it's typical Nathan Baker. It's a thunderous challenge. The crowd get off their seat. You know, we're all kind of, yeah, have some of that. And then, you know, within seconds or minutes...
He's on the floor.
He was on the floor and seemingly with a sort of bit of concussion. So whether Kamara's shoulder caught him or whatever, and, yeah. You know, you can't, I'm not making light of it because you can't be too careful with that sort of thing. But it's a frustration with Nathan because I think when he's fit and has a run of games, he is our, you know... arguably our best defender, but he gives us something on that left-hand side. His distribution still needs to improve, but he gives us something on there. So, yeah, it was a shame. I would have brought Benkovic on, and I did sort of call that at the time, just because I felt that Fulham had a bit of pace about them, and I think that's one thing Benkovic does tend to have. I probably was questioning that in my mind first couple of minutes he was on, because he looked very... off the pace. He didn't seem to, you know, a couple of times he didn't kind of challenge. Yeah, didn't challenge. But I think he grew into it and actually got better, although there were a couple of occasions in the second half where, again, I'd like to see him attack the ball, and he didn't. He let it bounce and then was under pressure. But I think that comes with games and experience. I mean, I don't know how many games the kids played, but it's not going to be very many. So I could understand why he made that call, but I, at the same extent, I wouldn't have been...
It's a difficult one. I mean, Wellick Williams brings on the organisation and leadership that Corey Smith offers in the midfield.
Yeah.
But as you say, maybe the pace isn't quite as good as Benkovic. I think Kalas dealt with Mitrovic really well, and he had one of his better games of the season. You know, maybe he was thinking that Kalas had Mitrovic sorted and Benkovic yet offered that aerial presence to go up against Mitrovic and some of the other strikers there. So, yeah, a very difficult decision to make. But obviously he sees them in training, as we say, and yeah. He's got a slightly more educated, heavily more educated decision knowledge to make than we've got. The other thing I wanted to raise, at the end of the first half, we had a couple of free kicks, and we've had a few free kicks in dangerous positions in the last few games. Yeah. And there always seems to be that sort of argument of who's going to take it, who's going to sort of do the shadowing, who's going to strike the ball. And the quality just hasn't been there for the last few games. Is that something you've noticed? Do you think that they actually know what's going to happen when it comes
It's a strange one, isn't it? Because, I mean, normally there was one in the sort of edge of the box, which Jamie Patterson and Callum O'Dowda were over, and I think it was Callum that actually did it. And I'd been saying beforehand that I'd have given it to Naki Wells, because I'd actually watched a couple of clips from on Twitter, I think, from the City site, where he was absolutely pinging him into the stanchion from similar sort of angle. So I kind of called it that I would have given it to Wells, and then I think he took the next one and sort of put it over the top. So it's an area that we've struggled with. I mean, probably Jamie is the one that gets on them in and around the sort of the D and the penalty area. I think probably Naki Wells will come into the equation more. But you'd like to think there was almost a recognised taker that everyone kind of went, do you know what, he's our go-to man. That's the one that, you know, you kind of want on it. Because like you say, you then almost have a bit of an argument as to, well, who's best to take it. And yeah, you know, which side of the pitch, it will favour a left footer over a right footer at times. But, you know, I'd be looking at certainly Patterson or Wells for me, and I'd make it clear that, you know, if I was the manager, right, it's up to you guys. But if you fancy it, Naki, you're on it, you know, and let him have a go for a bit.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's one of those ones that you'd like to see, you know, we always knew if there was a free kick in a certain position, Mickey Bell was going to take it.
Yep.
Or when he wasn't there, Tinian was going to take it. Yeah, we always
absolutely.
Knew Barnard
Walshy,
was going to take it. When he,
you know, Walshy
Walshy
before that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it has been probably Brownhill, hasn't it, in the years gone by. But his
record probably wasn't that great, really. I mean, he, again, no. It's that modern thing of trying to strike the valve and get that dip on it. Whereas I still think it, you know, seeing someone curl one in the top corner is, you know, is a joy to see. But yeah, you're right. I think it's something that I'd like to see them concentrate more on. You know, probably not so much this season now, but certainly next season. You know, having someone who is a dead ball expert that you know is going to be the one in and around the box that is going to be striking the ball. Yeah.
Okay. We'll move on to the second half. Goalless first half. Wells had a good opportunity and a shot well saved, more or less straight from kickoff, wasn't it?
Yeah. Deflected shot. I mean, again, I think he's what we've missed, and is an obvious thing to say, but he's a goal scorer, so he gets an opportunity. 30 yards out, he's going to hit it, and he did. It was a good strike. It hit. Is it Ream, the centre half? It hit him and deflected, and it was a. I thought it was a better save than it actually was when I saw it on the TV. You know, you'd expect the keeper to save it, but to be fair to him, he it was a good save that he made. So, but it was nice to see Wells taking that sort of chance.
Absolutely, yeah. Then we had Patterson came off and Jiju came on. For me, I wanted Jiju to start. I know we were talking about at the start people coming for Wyman and Wells up front, but personally, I would have had Jiju in from the start, given that presence to continue to build that relationship with Wells,
with Mackie Wells.
So I was happy when he came on, and more or less straight away, it gave us that presence and that stature and that stability that I think we needed. We had a bit more about us. A bit more of a focal point, you know. We were looking quite a small team, apart from Benkovic, probably average height of under 6 foot potentially, and probably under 12 stone. So he came on, mixed things up a bit. 6 minutes later, a bit of a fumble in the box, and just before that, I think. Was it when Vyman broke and put
his
head down?
That's a break from
the length for the pitch and. 4-on-2 and just couldn't quite pick the pass, read the pass, whatever.
Yeah, it was one of them that I think because, he's not left-footed, he broke well. It was his final or his penultimate touch. Just took it away and allowed Ream to come across and then he stretched for the last one. I think if he could have played the ball across, I think both Pham and Callum had made the sort of run-up.
And Wells.
And I think if it had been on the other side, then he wouldn't have hesitated in playing it across. But because it was on his left, to be fair to Wyman, it was a good break from that point of view. But
corner that he scored as well.
Yeah, it was. And you know, credit for Mara, I think put in the first challenge, and then Pereira then nodded it back across, and I think he was doing that with purpose. And Naki, you know, does what he does again. 6 yard box header, which we've missed. You know, I sort of keep saying it, but we haven't had that poacher, in the team for a number of years, certainly 18 months or so. So it was great to see him score that, and I genuinely thought they felt they would hold on to it. They seem confident, and I think they've kind of come out and said that afterwards. And it would have been. It would have been harsh on Fulham for them not to get anything out of the game because I thought they played some good stuff. They're a quality side. But, you know, at 1-0 with, 20 minutes to go, you do hope. But again, I probably felt that Fulham would get at least one, if not a couple of opportunities. And it would just be whether we could see it out. And obviously, you know, sadly, we never...
Absolutely. So in the 84th minute, it was... there was a potential foul on Wells. I don't know what you
thought
about
that. Looking back on, I mean, again, it was the far end of the pitch, so real time I couldn't really tell. But when you look back on TV, I think there's no doubt Arta definitely catches Naki Wells in a kind of second challenge, and then the ball breaks favourably for Kenny, and it is a quality finish. Although I think again defensively, both centre halves. Backed off and allowed him that kind of a couple of seconds to be able to pick his spot. But I did think, you know, when I've looked back on TV, I think it was a foul. I think we were a little bit unlucky from that. And I actually thought the ref was pretty poor all afternoon, if I'm honest with you. And I've seen him a couple of times.
He didn't seem to. I don't want to say know what he obviously knew what he was doing, but he was a little bit hesitant and a little bit reliant on the linesmen's waiting for them to help him.
Didn't give decisions, and that's the thing. And even, you know, when I think back to when I managed youth football teams, all you ever wanted, and it didn't matter whether it was a young lad reffing or, you know, as was at the other end of the scale, someone who'd been reffing for 50-odd years, I expect. But you just ever wanted them to make a decision. And whether it was right or wrong, as long as they made it and didn't get influenced, then I was happy. Same from a professional point of view. And I just didn't think he took a grip of it. He didn't take centre stage like some of them do, but... you know, it would have been nice to have seen him be a little bit more decisive. And I think that was one instance with the Wales. And then I think the incident I referred to earlier with Nicky Mainpa late on, I think, again, he could have made a different decision. And, you know, it was one of them. But I think a draw was certainly a fair result from Fulham's perspective, having
had
the majority of the game. Rare. You know, yeah, absolutely.
Would you have brought Eliasson on more or less straight away after that? I think you waited to about the 90th minute to do that.
I definitely would have after their equaliser. I actually would have brought him on before their equaliser because I thought Andy Wyman had run his course a little bit. I wouldn't have taken... Oh, drop me headphones. I wouldn't have taken Callum off because I thought Callum had a decent game. He worked hard and was physical. I just thought Andy Wyman had run his legs. And again, you know, he's a player I like, but... I just don't see enough end product from him. I probably would have brought Nick on probably on 80 minutes, I say. And that was, you know, I was actually saying that during the game, so it's not in hindsight. I it's a change I would have made. But as the game went on, the later it got, certainly once they'd equalised, you kind of felt maybe... It wouldn't have surprised me if we'd gone defensive, if we'd have brought on, you know, Ashley Williams as well then. Instead of Nick, because I thought that Lee might have kind of settled for the point, but you know he kept it as was. So
yeah, I felt overall reflecting on the whole game, we did get a little bit overrun in the midfield. They have got that level of quality with Kearney Arter and Bobby Reid in the midfield, and sort of him swapping over with, is it Cavallero and Kamara, the other two that sort of interchange a lot, and I think that confused the boys quite a bit. Obviously the Masengo is obviously still learning, as we always say. Patterson looks to go forward. O'Dowda's, you know, runs around a lot, and Corey Smith is got one eye on what everyone else is doing and one eye on his own game. So I think at times we did look a little bit overrun in the midfield, and that was just down to the quality of Fulham.
Do you know, for me, Patches, it's a real quandary, that midfield, because I talk about Corey and I really like Corey. But even, you know, irrespective of what happens for the remainder of this season, but, you know, next season you've got players who are performing very, very well in the league below, in Liam Walsh and Joe Morrell, but are players of they're not as defensive as probably Corey. I think Hanno is probably more attacking creative than he's showing at the moment, but... You know, I still feel we don't have that physical dominant midfielder that we're missing. And, you know, I think Tyreek probably will need another year, probably playing at a higher level. But it will be interesting to see what happens with Liam Walsh and Joe Morrell from that point of view. But yeah, I agree. I think, you know, Corey was doing what he had to do. I think Han Noah is, you know, we do forget he is only 18. He got caught a couple of times trying to shield the ball, and just was out-muscled. You know, he's up against players who've been at this level and above for a number of years, and they're clever with it. They know what they're doing. They recognise what he's going to try and do, you know.
It is a Premiership team, as I think Johnson said at the end. It is a Premiership team that you're playing against and competing with. So, you know, we've got to look at the front.
I don't think they lost many players from last season's relegation. And, you know, you think they kept the likes of Mitrovic, Kearney, and I think Kearney's always been a quality player. And it's a learning curve for Han now. And I think, you know, he's only going to get better on the back of that. Again, is someone that, and I do the same with Nick, I think him, Nicolaisen, Walsh and Morrell all need to put on bulk in terms of weight from a muscle point of view. You know, you don't want that to be detrimental then to their
you
attributes.
You need to get at the same gym as Traore,
yeah,
I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, that'd be nice. I think we could all do with that. But I do just think that, you know, we're easily out-muscled on the ball at the moment. And that's where we'd thought, after certainly the Derby game with Henriksen coming in, maybe we'd found that nugget. At the moment, that was kind of one game out of, what was it, 3-4? And he didn't do anything after that, really. So I'm not looking at him for next season. But it's what I would say is our problem area at the moment is in central midfield. And just from a physicality point of view, yes, the creativity as well. You know, there's not enough that comes through from the middle, so that's something that needs addressing. In again, you know, people were talking about Palmer not getting on the pitch. Probably yesterday, I probably wouldn't have played him as it was in the end yesterday, or I wouldn't have brought him on just because of the way that the game panned out. And it is a bit of a quandary as to what formation you play. I maybe would have taken off Jamie and brought him on. I think Jamie's dipped a little bit. I think the first 3-4 games that he came back, he was superb. I just think he's dipped and has gone back to that kind of Jamie Patterson that shows the odd little glimpse and then gets knocked off a little bit too easy. So again, I'd like to see Jamie, you know, think to himself, right, you know, I've set a standard, I need to make sure I'm at that level. But yeah, that's the area for me, is central mid.
Just had a bit of interaction on the chat room. Bristol Bear boys listening in. Thoughts on the challenge by the Fulham keeper on Wells just before half time when he clad into him, seeing penalties given for a similar clumsy challenge? I can't actually remember that, can you?
No, do you know what? I can, actually. I'm trying to think.
I can.
Yeah, it was at the far end, and at the time, I'm with Delboy there. I did think it was a pen. The linesman, I think, initially flagged for a corner, and then the ref gave it as a goal kick. And we were sort of saying where I sat, well, either it was a corner or it was a free kick to us. But when I looked, and again, Della, only from looking back on Quest last night, it looked like he did get to the ball just before Naki, and so I could see, you know, why it wasn't given. But you're right, I have seen penalties given for that. But I think it's probably the right decision.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'll have to look back on that one. Coming up to the end of the game, it was great to see Bobby Reid, although he got booed throughout the game by some sections. It was great to see the round of applause that he got, especially with the day that it was on the anniversary.
Yeah, it was. And I've got to say, Patch, I thought he was excellent. I thought he looked really lively. Yeah, really comfortable on the ball. On another day, he could have been walking away with a hat trick. I mean, the header that you sort of talked about looked all day it was in, and it just sort of faded away. You know, the shot that Mimpa had, and I think he had another one that sort of side netting. I thought he was excellent. And you're right, I mean, possibly the Cardiff situation was why some of those fans were booing. I think probably a lot of them were the youngsters who, when you've been watching them for as long as we have, you know, you realise that actually, you know, your stars do all end up moving on. That's just a nature of the game. It was nice that he got, I think he was getting a fair bit of booing when he came to take a corner in the first half in front of Section 82. And as they started booing, then a number of fans were sort of cheering. And I'll be first to admit, I stood up and was clapping and applauding him. You know, he was a great servant for the club when you think back how long he was with us. I think it was a nice touch from Scott Parker to sort of sub in with, what, a couple of minutes to go. It may have been tactically, but I'd like to think that it was, to get him the round of applause that he deserved. And you know, he applauded all four sides of the ground, which was great to see. And is it a shame, really, Joe Bryan wasn't able to feature, because it would have been nice to have seen Joe as well. So, yeah.
But that also could have meant that we lost the game.
absolutely. Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, I know what you mean. It was something that I was looking forward to, was having him come back down. And I saw him pull up with a hamstring injury, and when I was watching the highlights the other day. So yeah, it was a bit of a bit of a shame, but I was looking forward then. We're at Blackburn next Saturday.
Yep, Blackburn next Saturday.
They lost.
They got beat 3-0. I mean, if they'd won, they'd have gone above us. So, you know, it's another big game. We've not done too badly up there over the last few years. I've got friends that live in Standish, not far from Wigan. So I sort
You've
of go up.
Got friends all over the place, mate.
I know, I have, mate.
Yeah.
but I'll stay with them on Saturday. I think Rach's dad's going to come up as well, so we'll travel up on Saturday morning, and then we'll stay Saturday night. But it's one of those games you kind of go. You know, I take a point, but actually this stage of the season, you know, it is really now about trying to get the wins. But if the teams around you aren't, well, I say the teams around you, it seems the teams below us aren't really, although Millwall obviously did. But Preston are obviously not sort of sealing it. But there is now that little gap between sixth and fifth. So it's starting to get to the stage where we're kind of playing for one position. I'd like to see, you know, if we can get a few sort of wins in, and being with a shout of not only, you know, sixth place, but fifth as well. But yeah, I think we're what, five points off of fifth. Well, I think it's fourth and fifth, because I think Brentford are on the same, although again, goal difference is worth a point compared to us. So
it's the best in the league.
Yeah.
31. So they've
is
got
it?
33.
Yeah.
They've got a 33 goal swing on us,
Which is ridiculous, isn't it? You know, absolutely ridiculous. But so in effect, that's kind of 6 points, isn't it? When you look at it like that, I think you've got Forest and then Fulham.
We play
on
Forest.
We've got to play Forest
and Preston. So.
So again, they are games where. Against those around us, I mean, we've got, when you look at it, we've got to play, and I'm just looking at the table now, so we've still got to play Swansea, who were a point or 2 points behind us, Blackburn, 2 points behind us, Cardiff, a point behind us, Preston, a point above us, Forest, 5 points above us. So, you know, they're not easy games.
The hard way if we're going to do it.
But do you know, it's one of those though as well, though, Patch, isn't it? That if you win them, then you're taking points off your rivals, which is a good thing. The flip side, obviously, is if you lose them. But in some respects, some of those games are, you know, must-not-lose games as opposed to must-win games. So it will be interesting from that point of view. But, yeah, Blackburn, make no bones about it, Blackburn will be tough. But I think, you know, I don't know about you, what would you go selection-wise next week?
Yeah, I was just going to ask that. So, I mean, I definitely would start with Zizou up
top. Yeah,
I
think he's banged too,
I think Zizou and Wells, I would be tossed up between O'Dowda and Vyman in the left sort of left wing midfield, whatever role you want to call it. I'd stick with Masengo and Smith, and I'd keep Patterson. I don't think I'd make any other changes. Baker's obviously, well, not obviously, but likely to be out. I don't know if his concussion, he probably might be okay.
The concussion, but I don't know. It was a mild concussion, I think he described it. Yeah, so I think it is 7 days, isn't it?
But we are obviously responsible for choice with Williams and Benkovic to drop into that. So Baker if fit, and I probably would stick with my Mpain goal, even if Bentley's fit, because he's not going to come straight back into full fitness, is he? So yeah, that's for me. I think it's only one change, really, unless we drop O'Dowda out as well.
I'd agree. I'd keep mine per, but based purely on the fact that he's put in two solid performances. You know, I do like Dan Bentley a lot, but I think if he's had an injury, then there's no need to rush him back, because, like you're saying, we've got two number ones, really.
What is the injury? Remind me.
It was a groin. A groin strain, I think.
Okay.
And again, that's one of those that can easily go again, from a kick. So I think there's no need to make a change there. I'd keep Pereira at the back. I thought he was excellent again, or again, grew into the game. Ideally, I would go Baker and Kalas again. If not fit, then I probably would go Williams to start, actually, just again because of his experience. And again, obviously, Jay on the left. Midfield, you'd go Corey and Han Noah, unless, I don't even know. I mean, Nash did okay at Millwall, so If he opted for Nage over Han Noah, I wouldn't be too critical. There is the bit around, well, don't keep making changes. But Nage, I think, probably is a little bit more creative, so I could see why he would do that. I'd stick with Callum. I think, again, he's starting to show... still not the qualities that we know he's got completely, but he was physically a bit more in the game. So I'd stay with him. I would absolutely go for Mara and Wells up front. And probably right-hand side, I would go... I'll probably go Patterson, I would say. I don't know if I've covered all bases.
You have.
Yeah.
And when we were on the 20-man show, Joe 20-man show on Monday, he was sort of saying, when we were all on a month ago, we were building the team around Eliasson, and we obviously left him out again.
Yeah.
So he's one that could potentially interchange with Patterson or O'Dowda, really.
Yeah. And if he was considering coming in, I probably would go and take Jamie out. The only thing I would say is I think Jamie gives you a little bit of the not quite sure what he's going to do, and he has that little bit of just that bit of quality that you've got. But I would probably. I'd probably stick with him and again, bring Nick on if need be. But I think the thing with Nick, I just felt his form had dropped off so much it's one of those where he needs to be showing it in training and doing something that makes Lee want to consider it. But you also, you know, we're all critical of it. And we, you know, I know Tony Wilkins talks about, you know, Johnson with his team selections and continually changing the team, which, you know, he does. Mm. So, again, if you don't need to change it, don't change it, you know. And none of them, I don't think Patterson and O'Dowda were that poor. You wouldn't give them another game. So, I would probably keep with those two, yeah.
And Bristol Dale boys point out again about the substitutes that we've got. So, is there any point having Williams and Benkovic on the bench versus Benkovic or Williams and Tommy Rowe, for example?
No, I don't think so. And I think... You know, you could even argue that if you've got Benkovic, Williams and Hunt, which would have been the case on Saturday, I think, why would you need that? You know, you've got a centre-half that could go out to the right if you wanted, or you could go to a three. So, I wouldn't have had all those three. But then you also look at it and think, OK, what other options have you got? Rowe would have been an obvious one from a midfield perspective. And then you've obviously got Casey Palmer that will give you that. And actually, you know, late on, I think Casey could have come on and played in behind Naki Wells. And that's certainly something I'd like to see at some point, because I think Wells kind of plays, that he does play on the shoulder.
Is Palmer and Eliasson now, will they get a game for the under-23s this week, do you think, if there is a game?
You'd like to think so if there was. I'd certainly...
Palmer's not played football for quite a while now.
No, he's not. He's not. And he's not even getting on the pitch a great deal, is he? I think he did come on at Millwall, but And I bet, you know, again, it's finding the right formation and having the players in front. But, I think he can play in that kind of 10 role. So you could have played Naki Wells late. Certainly, again, once we'd scored, you could have gone Naki Wells and then brought Palmer in behind him.
They're away at 1 o'clock tomorrow to Colchester at the
23rd. Oh, are they? Right, okay. Yeah, so you'd think they probably would do. But I guess, I mean, what we don't know whether there are any other knocks that are in and around. So if any of the wide players in Callum or Jamie had got a knock or Andy Wyman, then you might not risk them. But, I think they both need game time.
I've never looked at this before. There is actually a league, an under-23 league, and we're 8th out of 10. Colchester are bottom. So, obviously not the best under-23 team. Watford top, then Coventry. Yeah, I've never really looked at the league before. I don't know if they actually do look at the league and whether do they go up and down. I don't know.
I don't know.
I used to really enjoy going down to watch the reserves and things like that. And the under-23 games, 1 o'clock on a Monday, is it's not always conducive to most people.
No, and I think that's it. I think it's. I mean, I think they used to play some of them in the afternoons, but also you'd have the evening games as well, which.
Yeah.
You'd get more going along to that, but Yeah, you'd think they would. He would give them some game time.
I'd like to see Palmer at least. Palmer needs to have everyone out tomorrow. It'd be interesting to see if he does.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, mate. All right.
Good work. All right, pal.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. And thanks for your questions, Bristol Dale boy. And we will get this recorded. Get this posted up onto the podcast channel. And join us on Wednesday, or maybe it might be released on Thursday, for a bit of a review of I don't think we'll cover it every year in the 125 years.
I know I'm older than you, mate, but I've definitely not seen 125 years worth, but yeah.
Brilliant. We'll cover off some of that, mate. And I'll speak to you on Wednesday. Take care.
Yeah, all right, Patch. All the best. Take care.
Speak soon. Cheers. Bye.